and that this word will go forth with simplicity, boldness, and clarity. In Jesus' name, amen. On our screen, Psalms number 1. Psalms number 1. We say this verse at the beginning of service. And at the end of service, we're going to learn a passage of scripture. That would mean it will not just be one verse, but it will be several verses that we will learn every quarter. We're learning it. We're seeking to memorize it. So we're not going to just say it every day. I mean, every time we come together on Sunday mornings, we'll say it. It will be our morning scripture, and it will also be our benedictorial scripture, the blessing at the end of our service. By the way, the word benediction, the root of the word, or the meaning of the word benediction, is a blessing. It means good. It's when someone blesses you or gives you something. So it's a benediction. And when someone gives you something, it's a benefit. And you are the beneficiary. Amen? You're the beneficiary of a gift. As you know, with many insurance policies, there is a beneficiary. Somebody that the person who took out the policy is the benefactor. And they're leaving to that person at least some kind of money to take care of their final expenses and be a blessing many times to that beneficiary. If someone has a will and they leave you something, they're the benefactor and you're the beneficiary. And so when we give a benediction, we are speaking a blessing over your life, beneficial words over your life, and you are the beneficiary. We're speaking the word of God. God is the ultimate benefactor, and we're all the ultimate beneficiaries. Amen? For God so loved the world, benefactor, that he gave his only begotten son. He gave something good. He gave a benefit. For God so loved the world. For the benefactor so loved the world that he left some benefits for his beneficiaries. Amen. So that if we believe in him, we shall have eternal life. And brothers and sisters, just as if somebody left you some money in the bank, they passed, but they left you some money in the bank. They're the benefactor. You get the benefits, and you're the beneficiary. God loved us so much, being a good God. That's why we say God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. What you're saying is God is a benefactor. Our God is beneficial all the time, and all the time God is beneficial. He's a benefactor. And just like salvation, the benefits have been made available. And all you got to do is believe it and go and receive it. And there's no sense in saying you believe it, but you won't go get it. I believe it, but I won't go receive it. It's got to be either you don't believe it or you don't want it. Do you understand faith? If you believe it, you will make the effort to get up and go get it and receive it. And that's why the scripture says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and if you believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, if you confess with your mouth, first if you believe it in your heart and then confess it with your mouth that God has raised him from the dead, then thou shalt be saved. You will be the beneficiary and will receive benefits from this holy benefactor. So when we're planning to hide God's word every quarter, we're going to take a passage of scripture, and it's going to be something that most of you have already memorized, at least some of them. But we will not just memorize them. I will explain each verse to you. We'll talk about each word, verse by verse, and word by word, line by line, explanation of these verses. So the first one says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Now what I want you to do to help you memorize it, first, what's the first word? This is Psalms number one. It is a psalm of David. Psalms number one, it is a psalm of David. A psalm is a song. And some of the psalms are prayers. But what they are, mainly they are words set to music. Be it a blessing, be it a praise to God, be it a prayer for God to do something, it is music, or words set to music for the purpose of singing it and memorizing it and meditating on it and hiding it in your heart. So Psalms 1 is a blessed psalm. It's an admonition. It is speaking of how blessed we are, those of us who do what this psalm tell us to do, who follow the instructions. If your question is how to be blessed, Psalms 1 is an instruction or some instructions of how to be blessed. Psalms 1 are the first Psalms is made up of six verses. Everybody say six verses. Six is the number of man. Six is the number of man. Seven is considered the God's number of completion. We love five because five is the number of grace. Everybody say five is grace. Six is man. Seven is the God's number of completion. Remember, that's why in the book of Revelation it says that there is going to be a man of lawlessness who will come. He is been called the Antichrist. Before Jesus comes back, before the real Messiah Christ comes back, there will appear a false Christ. Some false Christ and then many false Christ and many antichrist. So the word anti means two things. It means against, because this antichrist who will come will be against everything that Jesus and God stands for. So the antichrist means to be against, but the word anti, which also is related to the word anti, A-N-T-E, means before. So the antichrist will not only be before, be against Christ, he will come before Christ. But he is not Christ. And he will work miracles. We almost shouted this Wednesday night when we heard that this Antichrist guy was coming and that he's going to be, and that you don't believe this stuff about a devil having horns, having a tail. That's symbolic when it calls him a dragon and that old serpent. Amen? When it says he's a dragon, it's talking about the fact that he is going to speak fiery words will come from his mouth. And when and they'll come like arrows in time past, when they would shoot arrows. Sometimes they would put a, what is it called when you put something on it to make it burn? What's that fire word? It's what is that word that they put when they put, if you're trying to start a fire, accelerant. Is that what it is? Accelerant. What they do is, if somebody want to start a fire, they will take some gas, some lighter fluid, gunpowder. Those are what? Accelerants. They help get a fire started and help it move about and expand very quickly. So in the olden days, the warriors would put some kind of accelerant on the tip of their arrow, and so when they shoot it, it'll come at you, and it will not just hit you and pierce you. It can first burn up your house, burn up your cart, burn up your clothes, and then help you catch on, cause you to catch on fire. Are you hearing me? The devil, the Bible calls him a dragon because he will speak words, flaming arrows, that is coming to burn you up. The Bible says, take upon yourself the shield of faith, that you may be able to extinguish all the fiery darts. Okay? So the devil is going to speak evil, fiery words to try to burn you up. But he doesn't look like a dragon. And when it calls him a serpent, it's not because he's a snake. It's because his nature is that of a snake. Slick, cunning, deceptive. Are you with me? And that's what the Antichrist is going to be. He will have the power of Satan. He's just Satan using him as a man. Satan will be using a man. Satan will take over his body. The Antichrist will not be ugly. He will be very handsome. The Antichrist will be very persuasive and can talk. And he will be a great orator, and he will be a great military person, know how to tell the military how to fight, and he will be a great at economical problem, how to figure out economical problems. He will be great at economics. He'll know how to talk. He'll have wisdom and know what to say, how to fight military, how to bring about economic prosperity and stability to the world. And not only that, he will also have a religious component to him. The Bible identifies this spirit of Antichrist as Satan, the beast, and the false prophet. Satan, one scripture calls him the first beast, and then the other one is the second beast. But they're all working together. Satan, the beast, first beast, and the false prophet. And they're all working together because they are a counterfeit of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. So you got Satan, who wants to be God, and you got he called himself bringing forth a son to mock and mimic Christ. That's why he's called the Antichrist. Christ is the Word of God, the law of God, if you will. This man will be called a man of lawlessness. I don't go by anybody's law. He's going to be very persuasive religiously. He's going to be so slick, so smooth, wealthy. People are going to give him money. People are going to give him their allegiance. And the Bible says, it talks about his number being the number 666. That's why we say 6 is the number of man. Amen. 6 is the number of man. So this verse, the blessed man, the verses that we're learning have 6 verses. Amen. And I want to just give you some clues to begin to memorize them. If you have not memorized this, at least this first verse, it talks about one thing that helped me memorize this verse is when it talks about the blessed man, it talks about 3 things that he doesn't do. That he doesn't do. And look at them. They're related to each other. He doesn't walk. He don't stand and hang around. And he won't go and sit with him. Amen. 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 What's the first verb? He don't what? Walk. He don't walk. He don't walk with him. They say, come on, let's go get into trouble. What's man? What you been to do? I'm all just trying to get into something. He will not accept the invitation to come and get into something. Because he's not trying to get into something. He's trying to get out of stuff and get into God. And get more into Jesus. So blessed is the man that walketh not. The first word thing he won't do is he will not walk. Then he won't stand. And then he won't sit. Are y'all hearing that? I hope that'll help you memorize. The first thing he won't do is he won't walk. The second thing is he won't stand. And the third thing is he won't sit. And he said, blessed is the man that walketh not. That does not walk in the advice of the ungodly. He don't take the advice. And then it says, not standeth in the way of sinners. He doesn't hang around and do with the sinners the things that they do. He doesn't accept their advice. He doesn't hang around with them doing the evil things that they do. And then he will not sit in the seat with them and be a party to their rebellion against God. And you don't have to try to keep these people away from you. All you do is try to act godly. Don't walk in their counsel. When they come to you with bad advice, you said, but it is written. After a while, they're going to stop talking to you. But the Bible says, people will tell you, I don't care what no Bible say. I don't want to hear all that stuff. And then you said they don't sit in the don't stand it in the way of sinners. It will not hang with them and get involved with the things that they do. You've heard me say, and I say it to you continuously, we don't need partners in crime. We don't need anybody to help us get into nothing bad. We can do that. We can do bad what? All by ourselves. Honey, I'm a good sinner. Professional. I was born for this. Yeah, born in it. Born in sin and shaped in iniquity. Nor will I stand in the seat of the scornful and those say, man, I don't believe in that Jesus stuff, man. All organized religion, all that stuff, that's just a game. People trying to control your life, man, and all that kind of stuff. I don't get into all that, any organized religion. Do you know the fastest growing religious group right now are called nuns? N-O-N-E-S. Nuns. N-O-N-E-S. What church you to go to? What church do you go to? None. What faith are you a part of? None. Well, who you believe in? None. No God? None. It's one of the fastest growing religions. They'll say, many times they'll say, I'm spiritual, but I'm not religious. No organized religion. And then they will also, some of them will say, I don't believe in any God out there. I only believe in me. I don't believe nobody's going to come save the world. I'm going to have to save my own world. Preachers have even preached abroad and in our city, there is no heaven. There is no hell. This is the way you need to learn and get knowledge and get enlightened and understand who you are. It's called a part of the New Age movement. Learn who you are, then you'll understand. This can be whatever you want it to be. Make it your heaven or make it your hell. It's all about what you know and what you're willing to do. Called the nuns. And by the way, many of them used to be and were raised in Christian homes. But as you've heard me say before there will be a great harvest coming into the church, there will be a great falling away. Hello? There will be a great falling away. That's why the Bible tells us to do everything we can to encourage each other to keep coming to church, encourage each other to keep trying to do good, encouraging each other no matter. People say, I fail, and I'm miserable. You know, I let God down. It doesn't matter what you have done. In this thing, you can always get back up. In this thing called Christianity, what Christ has brought, you can always get back up. You can always make a U-turn. Hello? God is a God of U-turns. He loves the fact that his children are willing to repent and turn back to him and return back to him. You must be careful. So the Bible talks about this man of lawlessness, man who will come. And guys, I want to just repeat what I said in Bible study. He will be so, so very persuasive. And it's hard because in our world, it's all about everybody, I mean, even Christians, it's all about your brand now. Your brand. Everything you do. If you do anything, Michael Jordan's brand is Nike. But more than Nike, it's his name. If you think Nike's cost, buy some what? Jordans. But because he played basketball and his name became a brand, and everybody's trying to get their brand. And so we'll be trying to become persuasive and very sharp. And when we go on television and radio, we want to put on a beautiful show and give people a good experience so that they will buy into our brand. What? Buy CDs, buy tapes, buy music. Buy our Bibles, buy our Bible study, buy our calendars, buy our bookmarks, buy our shirts. Come on a cruise with us. It's brand, baby. So it's hard for a preacher, especially for a young preacher, to just stand flat-footed and preach and teach the Word of God and not put on some kind of show. Because what the world, Christian world is showing us, it's all about branding. So we talked about the Antichrist. Saints, the Antichrist, and the Bible says the Antichrist spirit is already in the world. He, the Antichrist, just hadn't been revealed yet. But the Antichrist, he's going to be so persuasive, the Bible says. He's going to be so persuasive that if it were possible, he will fool. If it were possible, for those who say, I don't believe that once God saved you, he saved you. Save you forever, because you don't know the scripture. Because it said, this man would be so persuasive that if it were possible, he would fool the very people that God has chosen and elected and saved and sanctified and washed clean and pulled them out of the fire and moved them from the column of death to life, and they're on their way, and he changed their name. They're no longer called sinners, they're called saints. And they say, we know that we have passed, I mean, have gone into a whole nother realm. The Bible says we as Christians have passed. We have already walked into a new dimension. If you're not saved, you are walking in death and you are under the wrath of God. But the Bible says we know that we have we know that we have saved because we have passed from death unto life. Eternal life is dwelling in my spirit. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel. So let's look at the first word, blessed. Sister Carrington, do you have the Amplified version?
A-M-P. Oh, yes. She's got it. Here's what blessed means. Happy is the man. Fortunate is the man. Prosperous is the man. And enviable is the man. What is enviable? To be envied. It's saying this man is so blessed, folk ought to be jealous of what he got. Folk ought to envy what he got. He's so blessed, they ought to want it. We're to exemplify the love and the peace and the joy of God so much that they envy what we got and say, I don't know what you got, but I want what you got. That's when we get our lives in order and walk in the counsel of God and believe what God says. He is the wonderful counselor. That people ought to look at our lives and want to be blessed like us. And they ought to, they ought to see such joy in the midst of trial and see such peace when everybody else is going crazy and see everybody else is angry, but we're walking in peace and meekness and humility and goodness and everybody else is out of control. I'll bust you. Don't make me bust one in you. Well, we won't bust nothing. I won't bust back. That's the way my Lord did. They said when he was threatened, when he was reviled, he did not threaten them back. When they spoke evil of him, he did not speak evil back. This me generation says, take care of you. Sometimes you got to put people in their place. No, sometimes you got to tell them about Jesus. As a matter of fact, all the time. The Bible says whenever they ask you, be ready to give an answer. Be ready to give an answer. Be ready, be prepared to give an answer of the hope that lieth in thee. It's okay. It's okay, saints. We're supposed to be becoming more and more peculiar. It's supposed to be our testimony. I don't do what I used to do. I don't go where I used to go. There's something on the inside, working on the inside. I'm a blessed, happy, fortunate, prosperous, and envious man. To be envious kind of a man. Why? Because I don't walk and I don't live by the counsel of ungodly people. My God. And by the way, when it says blessed is the man, that means mankind. It's not talking about blessed is the male. M-A-L-E, it's saying, blessed is the person who doesn't walk or live by the advice of the ungodly. Young men, be careful. If a man ever tells you, sometimes, man, you got to put that woman in her place, man. You got to put a woman in her place, man. You got to go upside her head. Oh, men actually used to talk like that. That foolishness, we know we the man. We wear the pants. She get out of hand with you, doc, you put her in her place. Oh, come on, let's stay with it. Don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Some of these women would tell you, honey, man better not ever hit me. If he does, he better not go to sleep. Better not ever eat my spaghetti again, baby. But honey, he gonna wake up to some hot grits and some hot water and all of that. That's evil stuff. Godly women does not have any business telling young godly women that. Older godly women cannot tell young godly women that.
Tell them that if he hits you, baby, you have the right to walk out of there. You get you and your children and you get out of there and don't accept it not even one time. And you telling them, no, 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 we're not going to wait till you done beat me three or four times to get intervention. No, brother, we're going to intervene on the first time. First time you hit me, you put your hands on me. I'm calling the police. They gonna, you know I got a charge. That's your problem. Don't be around here putting your hands on anybody. First time, call the police. He'll know, oh, she's serious. I did not say shoot him back, kill him back. No, we don't need to see your picture on Snap. You call the police. You get out of there. Go back home to mama, your sister, your brother, whatever. And you tell him, no, sir, I'm not coming back to stay until we get some counseling. And you make an agreement with me. We didn't say it in our marriage vows, but we should have. To have and to hold and to never hit. To have and to hold, and I will never put my hands on you. And women, don't be hitting him. Don't think, oh, well, he don't hit women, so I'm going to knock his tail out. No, don't be hitting him. I don't care. He look at a woman because lust can overtake you. And you knew he was a fornicator before you married him. Y'all were doing it together. So come, oh, my God, did I sit up here and speak the truth? You knew he was a fornicator. I heard a friend tell me one day, he said, you know that man is a garden too. A garden too. You know he a garden too. She was a garden too. Come on now. Knew they were garden too. Oh, my, y'all not going to like me. Y'all not going to like me, but I got to say it. I got to say it. I got to say it. It's going to be hard. Don't you get upset with a man for looking at your woman and saying something if you actually promote your wife wearing breasts out, showing all her body. Because I'm telling you, the Bible calls that lasciviousness, and you don't understand that you don't understand the power that your wife's body can have over a man. The devil will make him forget his wife is right there, and that fool will gaze. It ain't because he doesn't know. And you are foolish if you think you married somebody who don't get caught by this. Come on, y'all talk about it. And that's the next thing you better do. You need to learn not, oh, my God. Sisters, you don't need to tell him everything you did back then. You need to let God forgive your past and let him separate you far as the east is from the west. You don't go telling him everything you did, who you done been with, and all of that, because that will give him a challenge in his marriage. He will be trying to compete with all of those men. Brother, don't tell her everything that you did, because she will find herself trying to compete with all that mess. And your wife should not have to do that. And your husband should not have to do that. And if they wear your decolletage out and they see all them pretty. If I married Sister Christian like that, it's going to be hard to make her put some on. When you married me, I was dressing like this. I'm still the husband in the house, and I don't fuss. I don't do a bunch of fussing, but y'all better change that. I don't do a bunch of fussing. I don't try to make Sister Christian do nothing, but I am her eyes. and I'm her protector. And so, you know, she walk around the house and getting ready to leave. And I said, all right, baby, I'll see you at the church in a minute, because she's an early riser. She loves to be here early, get everything done and all that. And she leave, and she leave. And I be looking at her, I'm half asleep, but I go, honey, you need to do something about that. You need to pull it up. Uh-uh. It may not be nothing but a little slip. Uh-uh. It make me want to make a man want to see more. He praying, I hope the thing fall all the way down. I'm talking about these low breasts. These low dresses, Mother Bank. Where they showing a heart. That's why I don't like being a preacher, because the devil mess with you and throw things at you. Are y'all hearing me? He doesn't follow their advice, their plans, and purposes. If you know people are speaking evil to you and speaking ungodly, or if you know they are ungodly, be careful of their advice. Nor stands submissive and inactive in the path where sinners walk. He doesn't submit to them to what they do and stand inactive. In essence, he is letting them mold him as he watches what they do, and he hangs around with them. Next verse. Nor sits down to relax and rest where the scornful, who are the scornful? The mockers. I don't care nothing about Jesus. They take the name of the Lord in vain. The Lord ain't coming back. All that kind of stuff. No. The blessed man does not relax and rest, meaning he does not chill where the scornful gather. Y'all with me? Next verse. We're going to stay in this amplified. But his delight, the blessed man, and desire are in the law of the Lord, are in his word. And on his law, on his word, his precepts. That means his laws are his rules, his instructions, the teachings of God. He says what he does with that, his delight and the thing he desires is he habitually meditates, ponders, and studies by day and by night. He knows the word of God. He thinks on it. He meditates on it. He ponders over it. Day and night. Amen. And then it gives you an example. It's not saying that a man is a tree, but it says he shall be like a tree, firmly planted and tended to. See, as he stays in the presence of God, God is attending to him. God is watching over him. He's not just planted by the streams of water, but he is firmly planted. That means he stays in the word of God, and he lets his trust and his faith in the word of God grow deep and deep and deep. He puts down deep roots. This tree, you can't. If you cut it, it's still going to be a stump there, because the some of the longest part of the tree is down in the earth. His roots grow deep. And the picture is, saints, if a tree is planted by a river of water or by a stream of water, it gets a lot of nourishment from the water, it gets the nourishment from the sun, and it grows more lush. It'll be more green, and its fruit will, juicy plums and peaches. because it's getting a lot of nourishment and it's been moisturized by the river as opposed to by a desert. As opposed to being in a place where not much water. The water here is compared to the Word of God. The Word of God is the water that you need to be planted in, right by it, receiving all your nourishment from that river. And he shall be like a tree firmly planted and tended by the streams of water, ready to bring forth fruit in its season. That means you'll bring forth the fruit of the Spirit. That means you'll bring forth fruit of goodness, fruit of faith, fruit of love, fruit of joy. That means you'll be one of those persons on your job. You do your job. You're excellent at doing your job. You're on time. You leave when it's time for lunch, and you come back when it's time for lunch, and you're not a part of everybody who just fussy. It's amazing. You tell me that you know this person, and she just messy, just messy, messy, messy. So why are you hanging around such messy people? And do not think you can hang around messy people and not get messed up. Y'all hear me? We're planted by the rivers of water, and we'll bring forth fruit in our season, and we will prosper. We'll be fruitful in our lives. The idea is fruitful in every area. And its leaf also shall not fade or wither, because if it's getting all the nourishment and it's connected to the tree, and planted by the rivers of water, it's going to always be nourished. It's going to be green. It's going to be a fruitful tree. And everything he does shall prosper. Now, that's the word. If you stand close to God and you're following God, listen at this. Don't get this to mean that every Christian is going to be rich, have a lot of money, and all of those things. Listen, the only reason God wants to make you rich is because there's something he wants to do in the earth, and he wants to show his glory, and he can trust you, and you will tell everybody how I got it. God gave it to me. It belongs to God. I give it away. And even though you can go and buy a $1 million car, you just won't do it because you know it serves no purpose for your God. Saints, we should not buy everything that we can just because we can, because we are trying to impress people. That's not who we are. Yes, we live comfortably. But I want you to understand this, and everything he does shall prosper based on what ministry God has called you to. For instance, if God has called me to the mission field, I don't need a Rolls Royce. I don't need a Lamborghini. If you go there, go to the hood driving that, and all the hood want to know is, how can I get that? And if you ain't helping them get that, they're going to say, oh, no, he's doing something wrong, and I ain't for to let him come around. I ain't for to pay for that. Now you're causing people to lust and be covetous about what you got, because if you're there to represent Jesus. Now, I'm talking to Jesus's people. If you were Jesus, and you were coming in the time in which he lived, and you were a Messiah, how would you come? What would be your mode of transportation? 9 times out of 10, if you were Jesus and you were living in Jesus' times, what would be your mode of transportation? Anybody? I say, if you were Jesus, if you were Jesus, you are the Messiah. You're the king. And you want them to know you're the king. How would you come? You're the king. You're the conqueror. You're the Messiah. How would you ride? Somebody said chariot. And what else did you? Yeah. See, I'm not talking about how he actually was. I'm talking about your lifestyle now, the way we are today. A caravan of what? What would be our mode of transportation? Either the finest horses, the finest chariots. Are y'all with me? The finest caravan. Them Eastern, Middle Eastern guys, they come on them camels. Load it down. Them camels can carry you and then carry all your load and everything. But here's the thing. Jesus is the King of Kings. And when he came to the earth, he did not come in on Egypt's horses. He did not come in on Egypt's chariots. He did not come with the men from the east on their beautiful caravan camels. He didn't come in on the best transportation. The Bible says your Messiah will come riding on a donkey. I'm sorry, guys, that ain't a Cadillac. That wasn't a Cadillac of the day. A donkey is more like a Pinto. A Yugo. Huh? The sucking stubborn won't have gold? Yes, he came on a donkey and he says, I am meek and lowly. In order to do what my father wanted me to do, I don't need no big fine horses. Got to go back to that verse, the one just before. See, remember I said, it's hard for young preachers to just preach the truth and the word of God because we've seen all of this stuff. Everybody's trying to push a brand and trying to be somebody and be smart in this world and be thought of as so intelligent. And we want as many people in our churches. We want to have 4 and 5 services, practically killing the pastor. And he doesn't know, he know he's half stressed and about ready to kill himself. But he can't tell nobody. All you got to do is read. I just read of a pastor who just told his church, I'm taking from January to Easter off. He said, I can't handle this no more. I have to preach 4 and 5 times a Sunday. And he's up there in Virginia where Obama and his wife come, and I'm all under all this pressure. And he told me, I'm just so tired. And he told the church, I'm taking a sabbatical from January to Easter. He said, I need to chill. I need to push back. Preachers can't really tell their congregations how crazy. You have to know it. If any of you in here, if the enemy ever suggested you taking your own life or anything like that, anybody ever feel like giving up? Anybody ever think about just going crazy and just I'm going to blow up some of everything because you're so angry? Come on, anybody? See, preachers cannot tell y'all that's how everything you feel, I get it double. This preacher said, I got to take me a few days, and I'm ready. I'm gonna go to the beach. Like, wrong place to go if you're trying to get restored. That's what he said. I want to go to the beach and to the woods and all that. You don't need to go to no beach. He told me, I'm going to get me some mimosas. Huh? He's hurting, guys. And he shall be like a tree firmly planted and tended by the rivers of water, ready to bring forth fruit in its season. Its leaf, that's us, shall not fade or wither, and everything he does shall prosper and come to maturity. If God has called you to a ministry, like he called Paul to missionary journeys and all of that, you don't need a bunch of expensive stuff. You have to travel light. You don't own a bunch of stuff. And you don't need, because you can't minister to people. Sometimes the package it comes in can throw them off. But in this day and time, people are going to be deceived, because the devil will not come in his normal looking outfit that we think. He's going to be so awesome looking, and he's going to even work miracles. Listen to me carefully. Anybody in here praying for a miracle in your life? Keep praying for it. Keep believing God for it. Listen to me. You ain't got to go look for it. You cannot be obedient enough to get it. You cannot pray enough to get it. God blesses when he's ready to bless. He heals when he's ready to heal. He touches when he's ready to touch. When he raised Lazarus from the dead, Lazarus didn't offer nothing. People talking about you got to have faith. Lazarus didn't have no faith. Pray for your blessing. Pray for what you need. But don't set your heart on your miracle, on your blessing so much. Honestly, Jesus, when you need Jesus, seek the Lord while he may be found. Ask him, seek from him, knock from him, and the door will be open unto you. And listen, saints, more than ever, get to know the voice of God. The voice of God. His sheep know his voice, and another they will not follow. Listen, the devil will work false, counterfeit miracles. A lot of people are disappointed and upset with God because we bought into the mistruth that prayer is for me to get what I need and want from God. No, prayer is communication. Prayer is worship. It's not for you to get what you want from God, but it's you to get the will of God. Find out what the will of God, find out what his plan is, and say, have your way. Fall in love with Jesus, not your miracle. Fall in love with Jesus and not your blessings. Because you will not and may not always be in the position you are in right now. If you live long enough, it can get worse. The economy can get worse, and it probably will sooner or later. It does that. It goes in cycles up and down. The economy, the way America is going, we could be under Russia already and don't even know it. Anybody else, you never know how God is going to work this. He can bring a nation up quickly, and before you know it, bring it right down, and you can be the slave, and you think your life... Listen. You heard me say it before. Don't you be a fool. Put everything you got into electronics and these computers, because don't you know, get ready, the enemy is going to attack your computer. And if you ain't got no money at the house and you ain't got no food at the house, you heard me tell you before, when you hear that there are some green beans and some corn and some stuff on sale, and they giving eight for $2, eight for $5, go get you some. Stack up your closet. Stack up your pantry. Stack up you some water in there. Because the day will come, everything is going computerized, and all the enemy needs to do is hit the right area in your over your nation, and you won't be able to get your money, your annuity, your 401k. During the Great Depression and the Great Recession, when money fell and the stock market crashed so bad, people jumped out of the window, all of their savings. I'm not against the stock market. You know how to play it? Play it, player. But don't you put all your money in one basket. One bank. One account, diversify. And some of it need to be at your house. Now, I'm going to diversify some of it at my house. So if the bank closed down, I still got some money. We got food at the house and we can make it for a while. Saints, don't fall in love with your stuff. Fall in love with God. Don't fall in Hear me carefully. Don't fall in love with your beautiful face. It's going to get old. Don't fall in love with your beautiful shape. Don't fall in love with your good health. You are in a fallen world. You don't ever have to say, listen, Linda, listen. You don't have to do anything wrong for sickness to come. If you live in this life and you don't ever have to question, Lord, why did you let this happen to me? If you are a believer for sure, God is not trying to purposely punish you. He wants you to do what's right because it makes sense and because he's trying to protect you. But you don't have to do anything wrong and sickness can come. And you don't want the enemy to shake your faith by making you say, why did God do this to me? Why did God let this happen to me? God means everything for your good. Everything for your good. But you say, well, why would the Lord let this happened to me when I was a child and when I couldn't help myself, and this happened to me and that happened to me. Listen, God didn't just pick you to put some hurt on you, to damage you or anything like that. Let me tell you what happens. Number one, you were born into a corrupt, fallen world. You're coming through a fallen, corrupt area, and some of anything can try to come upon you. The enemy can try to bring things. things upon you. Life will just bring things upon you. Let me say finally, don't fall in love with your miracle where you're running in and chasing it, because the Antichrist is going to fool a lot of saints because they love demonstrations. Listen, if God, please understand the nature of a miracle. It's not happening every day in the same place all the time. It would not be a miracle. That would be normal. Are y'all with me? Jesus did not heal everybody. Don't run after your miracle. Ask God for what you need. And he loves you enough that he'll give it to you. But don't let your faith be based on what God does for you and what miracles he works for you. Don't let your faith stand in the wisdom of men and in what you see. Listen, you would not need to walk by faith if you got everything you wanted. If you got everything you wanted, you would not need to walk by faith. If I could get everything I wanted right now, I would ask for one thing. And I can't even get that when I want it. I mean, I have one request. One. In all of life, one request. And I cannot get it when I want it. I'm ready for Jesus to come back to get us all today. I ain't saying none of us dying, because see, I don't want to leave nobody behind, nobody crying for me. I don't want to be crying for nobody. Take us all to heaven. Let's finish it on up. Give out our glorified bodies. Let's put the devil in hell and lake of fire. Let's get this thing over with. I don't know about you. I ain't even lived as long as Mother Banks and Mother Turner, but I done had enough. And every day I feel like this world is not my home. I'm just passing through. And I'm going to keep that in the front of my mind. This world is not my home. I'm not going to get all of the comforts of home until I get home. I'm ready to sit at the welcome table, but it doesn't make a difference how bad I want him to come. Jesus told his disciples, they say, are you getting ready to restore the kingdom to Israel and authority to Israel? He said, that is not mine to give. That's stuff that's in the Father's hands and in his time. They asked, can we sit on the right side and the left? He said, that's not mine to give. The Father will decide who's going to sit on my right hand and my left hand. I have no desires in this world. I'm ready for Jesus. But it ain't going to happen. Explain this ministry, this mystery. Nobody knows but the Father. Keep walking by faith. If he blesses you with what you need, and he will, when you need it. If he doesn't give you what you need as you think you need it, trust his heart. Remember the words of the Hebrew boys. We know, even if you don't deliver us, we know you're able. Stay in faith. Stay in faith. And everybody say, even so, come, Lord Jesus.